Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with life and love, and we pray to know you and have relationship with you through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We believe in Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone of Christianity. That he came to earth as a man and died on the cross as the sacrifice price required for the payment of an atonement for our sinful nature. And the nature that came from Adam and from our own personal sin. And then we accept that free gift from Jesus and change our sinning ways as we continually strive to be holy. We want to live forever in the presence of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in what we call heaven for eternity, and not in that other place, that the lonely place of hell. Well, if you do a little bit of study of Judaism, you can see that some of the basic patterns of Christianity came from Judaism. The sacrifice, the blood, the atonement, the rituals too. There's a parallel of, for instance, the Passover lamb, how the body was held over the fire to cook with sticks that resembled a cross to keep the chest cavity open. See, now Jesus came as the Lamb of God, and he had his arms held wide open on the cross. It's another kind of a picture, parallel. And then there was the pre-Passover ritual of taking all the leaven out of the Hebrew house. And we are to remove the leaven of sin from our own house. And then just as there was the first Passover where the blood was placed on the doorposts and lintels of the Hebrew houses, today Christians put the symbolic blood from the sacrificed Lamb of God on the door of our heart. See, there's parallels of the sacrifice and the lambs, and this is just one of the things that is so evident between Judaism and Christianity. See, we can look at the differences and tell how different they are, or we can look at the similarities and tell how similar they are. There's similarities. So, what will bring you closer to God? That's part of what we want to look at. And what would bring you further from God? Well, there is a divide taking place in our world. It has always been, but it is in each of our lives. And we want to divide in a way that brings us closer to God, not further from God. I remember earlier in my life when I was reading the Old Testament, I looked at musical instruments, and I thought that those musical instruments could be used to praise God, or they could be used in a pagan ceremony, the same musical instruments. So I think that's a parallel to today, how we can see that Oh, the same things can draw us closer to God or further from God. And we have to use the discernment to figure that out and to seek God and not the world. So that's a part of the intent of our heart, that we are to keep the intent of our heart oriented towards God. Just like the musical instruments, they could be played either for ungodly orientation or godly orientation. It's just something that we have to watch ourselves so that we align ourselves with the will of God. And we do want to make sure that our final destiny is in that heavenly place. So we have to, each one of us has to guard our heart. And the heart is such an unknown to so many people, but we ought to look at our own heart and judge for ourselves, our heart. Oh, you know how easy it is to fool ourselves. We look and might say one thing is why we do something, but really there's an ulterior motive. And the thing that we have to remember is God does judge the heart also, and we know that God can see the complete and true heart that we have. Better than we can. So remember that. Remember that when we are thinking about doing a good deed, we want to be clear about what it is and not to have an ulterior motive. And that's happened so much just in life. There might be a gift that we make or a donation or something, and we want to make sure that it is purely for that reason, and we're not thinking about some other aspect of giving a gift, how, well, maybe if we give them something, they will give us something back. We just want to make sure that what we are doing is pure and clean. Yeah. Don't be distracted. Just make sure you are looking at the clear understanding of what is your motivation. And we can fool ourselves with that, but we can't fool God, can we? He knows completely. He can discern everything, every matter of our heart. Yeah, we can't fool God. Sure, ourselves, but examine matters carefully, because you don't want to fool yourself. I think of even going to church. We can say we're going to church to worship God. Well, just make sure that's what we're doing. We're going to church to worship God, and not to look at some other attractive people there. No. Let that be a time of worship. I know that we want to look at everything in terms of eternity and to make our life, our thoughts and actions align with the pure, with the holiness of God. And it is something that it takes time to learn to do that, but that's what we do. That's what we want to do. We want to align ourselves up with God and His will and His holiness, and to take a few steps away from the complications that are in society. That's what we do. You know, sometimes we change our behavior because of the holiness of God and that we want to go to heaven and our love of God because He first loved us. So those are some very good motivations. But I think of a man who I know who who motivates himself to stay on the right track by saying to himself, "Hey, blankety blank, do you want to go back to that cell block? Well, go ahead, do that stupid thing again." Yeah, well, it's funny to hear him say it. But anyway, you do know that all of our actions have consequences, and so do the intents of our heart. So be sure that you give some good discernment to looking into your own heart, and have that, and that you have your actions line up with God's will. And that's what we all want to do. We want to be transformed in our thoughts and our words and our actions by Jesus Christ. And we bring him into our life, invite him in. And that's just what we do. That takes a little bit of time in our life, typically, and we have to seek to understand and how to worship Jesus Christ and the Bible and bring the Holy Spirit into our life. It's what we do. That's what the Christian does. Sometimes you have to start at some really basic place, some really basic questions. Like you might wonder, who is God and who is Jesus? And sure, the answer can be pretty obvious, but there's a lot of people who have confusion in their mind. And some of it is because we just never learned the basics, and some of it is because there is society telling us one thing or a religious person telling us something else. And there are quite a few religions out there that, well, they don't worship the same God as the Christian God. And you hear it all the time, or you might, that we worship the same God, but no, we don't worship the same God. Different religions have different gods, and they have different attributes. You know they're not the same when you look at the nature of them. So don't be confused. Please, have a look at... This will help you in your discernment. So have a look of what the nature of the God is of one religion or the other. It'll help you define things. There's some such deceitful religions in the world, and you'll have to see which ones they are, but they're on every continent and really of so many different religions. It's not just one, but I know I think of Islam, and I think of how it allows the believers to lie to people who do not believe in Allah, but they cannot lie to the people who are believers in Allah. It's just quite a world. It's a divide. Our world is divided, and it has to do with religion. Religion divides people because the basics of religions are different. Islam is different, and Christian is different. They are two completely different sets of morals with two completely different gods. And I know that's a big thing to look into, but it is available if you want to study that question. The information is right there. It is good to study and know your own religion. That is always good. And you might want to study a different religion as well, because it will make you appreciate our Christian religion. We want to understand our God, the God of the Bible, who is Yahweh. Oh, and he has other names depending on his attributes. That's the same for Islam. Their God has different attributes, and they are not at all the same as Christianity. So you can look up people who talk about that. Let's see. You could look up Nabil Kiarostami, who is with the Ravi Zacharias team. Or you can look up another site called Don't Convert to Islam. Those are good sites, and there's lots and lots of other ones. Yeah, I've looked at plenty too. And anyway, these days there is a whole lot of pressure to unite the world under a one-world system. And that is in every way. It is religious. It is economic. It is political. It does look like the world is headed towards a one-world system. And so many people go along with it, and so many people see that they need to fight it completely. Oh, I remember there was Pope Francis who was criticized for his efforts to unite the world under one religious banner. Let's see. He spoke about this, and he has written about it in a catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 841, where he says, quote, "The plan of salvation also includes those who acknowledge the Creator, in the first place amongst whom are the Muslims. Those profess to hold the faith of Abraham, and together with us they adore the one merciful God, mankind's judge on the last day," unquote. It's a drive towards a united world, and we have to discern the difference to it and not just follow leaders, but actually understand what we are talking about and understand the ramifications. It takes time. It takes effort. And we have to remember that our eternal destiny of heaven is worth all the time and all the effort that we put into it. There's a whole world that is trying to redefine us, to have the authorities around us tell us what to think, or redefine words and terms and the basics even of maybe a religion or maybe a belief system. That is going on so much. And in a way, I'm thankful to my experience with East Germany when I got to talk about this and experience it with my relatives, and how the communists were, the Soviet communists, would mold a thought pattern to bring things into an agreement that we all could stand with. So be aware of things being redefined and twisted so that they just might convince the people who don't know what the basics of a belief system are. I think of the Bible, of course, because the Bible tells us over and over to not be deceived. Be not deceived. Over and over it tells that message. And, of course, the world wants to deceive us. People want to deceive us. And we have to be able to discern and recognize the truth. Sometimes it takes a whole lot of effort. And sometimes it's just so easy. I know people who can see it very quickly and readily. And I also know people who have to study it out. And the understanding comes slowly. Well, that's the world we live in. There's plenty of differences in the world, and people are different. And we get to love people. It's a part of the commandment of God. love your neighbor as yourself. Well, first love God and then love your neighbor as yourself. And wouldn't that be a wonderful world if we did that? Just think. Love. That's our Christian God. Of course, there's other parts too. God also judges in the last day for your salvation or not. And it's all a matter of having the discernment to understand what is going on in the world. And sometimes the only way you get that is by study. Study. And that's something that so many people don't want to do a lot of these days. Or maybe not ever. That's we can look around us and see how America has gotten soft and easy. Gentle people live in America, and so we get molded and pushed into a form. But we all have the chance to stand up and for what we believe. And that's what we try to do. I know that there's a lot of people who want to push you into a mold, and they do that on every level. Sometimes it's just on a criminal basis where you encounter people and they want you to do what they want you to do. And usually that's a plain, simple thing, is they want your money. Or your spare change, whatever it is. And then it can be the people who want your political vote, and it can be the people who want your soul and devotion. Those are cults. Or sometimes there are other religions, but you have to get discernment. And the only way I know to do that is to study. Well, that's me. But I know there's plenty of people who follow their heart. And you have to say that works for them. They're so comfortable in it. They know who they are in their heart. So, people are different, and we get to deal with a whole range of them. There's soft and gentle people, like there are in America. There are also people who would just as soon look at you as they would shoot you. Really and truly. That is true. I have known some of them, and they just can't believe they have talked to such an innocent man as I have been in the past. And so they tell me the truth about how they see things. And I have every confidence that they would just as soon look at you as shoot you, or they would have a few days before. So, we have all sorts of people in the world, and you better know that we live in a world where, well, we need an authority. And sometimes it's the authority of that thin blue line, law enforcement. But law enforcement would be unnecessary if we had an internal morality, which is the morality of God. If each one of us had that inside of us, like we used to have in the early days of America, law enforcement would not be so very necessary. Not in a big way, anyway. There have always been sheriffs all through time, and they've been necessary. But we face a whole nother set of circumstances in these days. These days of our society, of our world, and we get to figure it out and make sure we stand strong for Jesus Christ. That's what we do. I remember talking to a man who was, he was an elder, Amish man, and he talked about how he would never take another life. And he used as an example, if his home was being burglarized, or his family was being tortured. No, he would not take that other life. And his reasoning was because if he were to take that man's life, he knew where that man would go. That man would go to hell. He was obviously not a saved man. And to kill that man would be to seal his destiny and not give him the opportunity to know God, to know Jesus, and to repent. So that was a very interesting conversation I had with that man. We all have a different orientation to it. Oh boy, I know people who, yes, they really would be happy to shoot another person. Amazing, just the differences between humanity. And we get to figure it out, find out where we do stand, and be faithful to who we are. I think the big thing is that we are faithful to God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And the little things like whether we live or die, little, yeah. Well, for some people it is. For some people, they recognize that the eternal destiny is the absolute most important thing. How can you disagree with that? You can't. When you examine eternity and the consequences of hell and heaven, well, yes, we know what's important, but it still is takes a little bit of doing to practice it as we go through life. Yeah. So many people have so many points of view. Well, we do know that God has a perfect plan for each one of our lives. And what we want to do is say yes to that plan. We want to be a part of God's kingdom here on this earth and throughout eternity. And that means saying yes to Jesus, becoming born again and turning from your past ways that were improper, sinful. So just remember to think, plan, and do about your eternal life as well as the things here on earth. Yeah, because we have things that we face. We have things that are easy and some that are difficult. And we just get to deal with it all. Everything in front of us in our life. Sometimes we have to think about those very basics of life, like farming and human relationships. Those are so basic. And then we deal with a little more complicated issues, like what do we do about homeless people, especially in our community or in our church? Then what do we do with all these things? Well, the church, the Bible, has answers. And so often, we people get manipulated to one point of view or the other. We get manipulated by our politicians and sometimes by our fellow Christian people. And that's just the way it is. We have to know with our own understanding where we stand. And pretty much that means we have to study the Word of God. The Bible tells us, and we can discern as we read, and sometimes we have to have a debate with another person, and they bring in points, and we bring in other points, and hopefully we can reach an understanding and agreement. That's just life. Yep. Well, we do have lots of things going on in our land, in our nation. And of course, we want to ask God to heal our land. And that's 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That is such an amazing promise. I just love to think of that. Healing the land in every way. We humble ourselves, we pray, we seek His face, turn from our wicked ways, and He will forgive our sin and heal our land. Well, we have so many natural events going on around the world. Sometimes they're natural disasters, and they make for all sorts of losses in society, in our farms, in every aspect of society. And if we think of God's healing, and we think of what God can do, our God of the Bible is a good God, but He does require us to understand and follow His word. And like I said before, I've touched on other religions have other gods, and we want to make sure. Oh, sometimes we have to study it out too, and seek understanding, and that takes time and effort. And sometimes it's just so plain and obvious that we grasp at the truth of the God of the Bible, and we embrace Him. But don't be confused to think that that there is one God and that is all the same. No, there are different gods with different characteristics, and we want to be careful that we, America, does not embrace a different God other than our Christian God of our heritage. We like our freedom and our law system, and the Islamic law system is Sharia law. We could not tolerate that. It takes the testimony of three women to overcome the testimony of one man in court. And if you think of Saudi Arabia, where it was only a year ago where it was legal for a woman citizen of Saudi Arabia to drive a car in that country. Things are different, and we better recognize that we have such a wonderful Christian system in America. I was thinking about this because in the Islamic countries where Islam dominated the country last year, over 4,000 Christians were murdered just because they were Christians. It was a crime of between religions. 4,000 Christians murdered because they were Christians, or maybe they changed their faith. See, things go on in the world, and we better just be grateful for the wonderful system that we have. And we do have a wonderful system in America. Let us be thankful for it and ask God to preserve all of it. And obviously, we wonder what our future will be like, because our country is getting quite mixed up with God, with religions, with many things. Oh, there's even the question of the rapture question among Christians. Don't let that divide us. Make sure that we can agree on the fundamentals of Christianity, and do recognize that we are blessed. Our country is blessed, and we can just be thankful that we have Christianity here that encourages and espouses freedom. Well, yeah, I think another thing we can be grateful for is that we have not yet experienced the great falling away. At some point it will come, and we all will have to be strong in our faith and understanding, and be strong for Jesus Christ throughout. So don't let these things cause divisions between us. And we can talk about them. We can even have a good-natured argument, but don't let these things divide us. remember the most important part of the fundamentals of Christianity. Yeah. But for whatever is coming, do be prepared. I think of the things that are going on in the world and how there's so many people who are having to do without because of some kind of a disaster happening. It can be a man-made disaster or a natural disaster. And I just think it's good to be prepared. Be prepared to know how to do without. You look back a few decades, things were so much different then. And we got along. We lived. Even without our cell phones, even without computers, even without so many things, people are resourceful and kind. Most people are kind of all religions. So even if someone is not understanding or not agreeing on the basics of a religion. Well, I do think about preparedness. It is often a theme that I go back to because we have things happening all around the world. We have natural disasters and political disasters and personal circumstance that are disastrous. So I think it's always good to be prepared. Yeah, and I think about my preparedness pamphlet that I'll tell you about at the how to get that at the end of the broadcast. It's all these things are to give you ideas so that you can identify with what you would like to prepare for and what you can do to do whatever it is you want. You get an idea of what the problem is and see how you want to be able to overcome it. And you know what? In history, we have a great big long history of humanity overcoming the problems. History is good for many things. In history, we can see patterns, and we can see patterns of, sure, people overcoming problems and use their examples of how to do it, and we can see how problems come about. And that's a way of seeing what our future holds. I do that all the time. I look at the financial patterns and the political patterns, and I just wonder what is going to happen next, because we could be in for some pretty big economic recessions or even a crash. Oh, and a lot of the big money people, they're telling us to get ready. That we could have a recession, a major recession, and some say a crash, anytime now. So I think of that. I think about getting prepared. I hope you do. And one of the things that I hope I can do is to bring the reality of why these things just might happen. And hopefully you will see that too and be able to do a little something for your own personal preparedness, or do a lot for your personal preparedness, or encourage other people in your community, whether it's your neighborhood, your church, your city, your state. We all have a different place where we can impact people, and that's what we are to do. Well, I see the patterns. I see them plain and clear, that it is time for a major recession to come about. Other people do too, but the thing is that I don't have an idea of the timing. I just see the conditions are right for that to happen. The timing of it, nope, I don't understand, I don't get it. I could see where things could happen suddenly, just ever so quickly, but I don't know. I listen to other people, the experts, and there's experts who say everything is going wonderful, and there's experts who say, oh, we could have such a big problem any time now. With that kind of indecision, I say it's a good time for you to look at both, both of the things that could happen and prepare for either. Prepare for a collapse or prepare for good times. Preparing for good times is pretty easy, though. So there could be, if there is a collapse, so many things would happen, and it would restructure our society, and we could expect to see the people who are not prepared for a collapse to lose everything, because that's kind of what happens. Your loans get called, and the bank ends up owning your property. And then the bank doesn't want them, so they sell them to the rich people, and the rich people end up owning so much of what the middle class did own after a serious recession. So, have some money saved, by all means. Be able to pay your loan, your taxes, your insurance, and other expenses. And there's so many people who live month to month and don't have any extra. And yes, I am concerned for those people, but I don't know what to do about it, except to say, look out, look out. Something just might happen. Be prepared. Have savings. Pay off your loans. That's another thing. I know lately there have been people who've talked about a crash coming in October. And it's not that I believe it, but I'm passing on to you what they say. Because they note that some of the major crashes, like the 1929 crash that led to the Depression, the 1987 crash that was major, the 2008 crash, those three, they all happened in October, and they were all a big surprise. So that's why there's some of the financial people, that's my opinion as to why, they are talking about the October crash coming. Oh, I don't see it quite yet. Maybe next year we'll have that October crash. But I'm not unaware either that a crash could happen any time. And don't I know that basically nobody is prepared for a crash, and we don't predict them. We are all pretty much surprised when a big event happens. So that's another just warning to be prepared for the surprises. I know there's been plenty of big money people. I've talked about them being sure that in 2018 or even 2019 that there would be a big, call it a crash, coming along. It's certainly it's possible. Well, just do what you can. Have some savings and eliminate your debt. That's the big thing. Why do they say October? The money people suggest October is a day when these things happen, because the big money people are getting ready for the end of the year statements and to position themselves to get ready into the next year. And so October is a reasonable month to do that before the last things happen in November and December of the year, where people have to make moves. So they move in October. I don't know about that argument, but I think it could have validity. Nevertheless, we have an unknown situation for many reasons. And I do urge people to prepare, prepare, prepare. So we don't know what will happen. We could have all sorts of things coming about. Surprises, deflation, inflation, national unrest, international unrest, an accidental war, or even a nuclear event. All these things are really possible, and that can set off a great big economic trigger as to what happens. Natural disasters, they are all around too. We could have a natural disaster like a solar mass ejection that would knock our solar grid, our electric grid out. Or we could have a major earthquake or a major volcano or a tsunami. All these things are what the experts recognize as possible in any time frame. And there's two arguments. One is it has not happened lately, so it's not going to happen soon. And the other is that it hasn't happened, so it could happen any day now. Well, it's a big question, and you get to figure that one out because the experts don't know. And they say these things just come along, these major earthquakes or any volcano or anything like that. There's another point of view, too, and that is these things happen because a nation turns away from God. And so I just say, yeah, that's a real possibility, too. And our nation is turning away from God. So, will God take his protective hand away from our nation and just let the natural disasters happen that would otherwise happen naturally? Well, it's a question. It's just a question. I sure don't mean I know the answer. I don't. But I know that all these things are possible, and we ought to look at being prepared for a surprise. And we don't know if we have a week to prepare, or a year to prepare, or 100 years to prepare. We just don't know. And so many things can happen. And sure, I listen to the modern day prophets. They call themselves prophets, and they say they have a dream and a vision, and they predict things, but they don't predict a time frame. They just say that these things are going to happen and get ready. I think it's worthwhile to listen to the direction of all these things. I'm cautious about anybody who has that, wears that label of prophet. But they can be right too. They can be right, they can be wrong, and we all get to discern and try to figure it out, try to understand it. I know that there's been plenty of people in the past who have talked about, oh, the end is coming, yeah, or some great big event will happen, and they've all been wrong. Who knows what is coming about? I don't mean I know. I just mean that there's a lot of possibilities. So it's reasonable to get ready. In the natural world and in the financial world, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, Goldman Sachs, that big New York investment bank, they issued a warning about our financial future. It's not unusual for those big investment banks to issue warnings, but it was a warning to say, look out, the future could be chaotic. And what does that tell us? It tells us that it's an indicator of things could happen. And I look at another indicator that I think is pretty strong. With our banking and investment funds, you know, the pension funds that we all seem to rely on, our leveraged funds, our hedge funds, and the bank overnight funds, all these things are at risk if our system fails, because or if they have a serious recession, because that's where so much of our money is held. And you know, remember a few weeks ago I told you about the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. They stated that they were going to inject at least $75 billion per day between September 23rd and October 10th. I'll say that again, at least $75 billion per day. Now, that's between September 23rd and October 10th. And do you know what that means? Well, it means that there is something going on with our economic system, and it could be we are in danger of a crisis because the Federal Reserve felt it was necessary to step in and make such a drastic decision. They announced it, and they acted on it. So, yeah, that could indicate that we are more unstable than we think. So, pay attention to the news. Our nation could have a big financial shakeup. So, and you also know that there's so many people who have been high up people who say, our markets are solid, our economy is solid. That's about what they're saying. And I say, well, if they are so solid, why would the Federal Reserve of New York need to inject at least $75 billion per day between September 23rd and October 10th? Yes, it's a question. So please consider that even though the money is flowing, this is not the time to have a party. This is the time to prepare. It's prepare for what might come about. So, sure, I know, I'm just a regular guy who's looked at these things for a long time. Expert I'm not, but I have looked. I mean, for 50 years I've been looking. I remember reading when I was 15. I remember reading my dad's Wall Street journals and having discussions with him about the Fortune magazine that he also got, or the occasional London financial papers that he used to get. It's just interesting. So I'm not unaware of a lot of things. I have the interest and the education, but I'm not an expert. And I just say, look out. I say, look out. We are in times that could suddenly turn one way or another. Pretty serious. So remember those basic financial rules of security. Have savings and get out of debt. Get out of debt, have savings. Those are the rules. And as for a huge financial event coming, pretty hard to predict, but there still are indicators. Yeah, and you remember, maybe you remember, I talked about this before, that it's been less than a year ago, the end of last year, I had two different women on the same, two different godly women, I should say that. They were Christian godly women. And on the same day, they told me to get ready. And I just thought that was so odd to have two people on the same day tell me to get ready when I'm telling other people to get ready. So I still don't know what it means, but I did have another woman tell me this summer to get ready also. And it's just, that hasn't happened for years. Probably for 25 years, I haven't been told that. So, yeah, it got my attention. And so I pass it on to you. It's not that I know, but I see the possibilities of something pretty serious coming along. And so pray about it. You pray about what you should do. Listen to the Holy Spirit. If you want to look at your understanding, your intellect, do that by all means. Pay attention to the indicators. They're different for each one of us, and I don't know what they are for you, but I know that they've been coming to my attention in the last few years especially. So, that's for you to do. It's for you to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Pay attention and listen. Yep. You might be thinking about what it takes for you to get ready spiritually, physically, and financially. Every one of those aspects is important, especially spiritually. Do you have your relationship with Jesus Christ? Physically, with some supplies, and I don't have any idea what to tell you how long for, but have the supplies. And financially, that's getting your house in order so you're able to withstand if and when there is a financial shaking. Yeah. There's plenty of talk about financial concerns with money and currency. And just look around and make sure that you get an understanding of your position regarding that. And I know in history there's been people who have taken advantage of every economic situation that has gone on, both the ups and the downs. In history, there have been famines, and to me, that's really the basic physical preparation is food. Think about food, because famines have come at all different continents in history, and hundreds of thousands, and even millions of people have died because they didn't have food. So I hope you think about having clean water, probably with a water filter, and food. Now, we've had this thing with PG&E in the last few days, and there have been outages around, and I hope you take that as a warning that there's some things that you need to do to get prepared for that just in case. Use it as speaking to your position and to understand what it is that you need to do to get ready for that just in case. Going without electricity is inconvenient, but it sure isn't the same as going without food and water. So look very carefully at how you want to be prepared for whatever is coming, which we don't know what it is, but we do have the indicators, and so use this as something to get your thinking in line with what if, what would happen, and how would you deal with it. You probably don't have a lot of people coming to the rescue, and or you could. It just depends. There's been different natural disasters with different people coming here and there, or not. And we have things that could happen. We have the Cascadia subduction zone, the Yellowstone Super Caldera, the San Andreas Fault, the New Madrid Fault. All these things are possibilities. So get your preparedness list, or you get mine if you want to. You can get mine by writing to me, John Stephenson, at P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you.